We're calling Come Alive. Angie this morning sang a song, Dry Bones Come Alive. I believe she's going to make that kind of the theme song for these three meetings. Come alive. Dry bones come alive. Amen. I want you to turn to John chapter 12. Thank you so much, Karen. Beautiful. Beautiful. John chapter 12, we're going to begin with verse 12 and go through to verse 19. You there?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, said on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. Verse 19, the Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. The world has gone after him. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus, for riding into Jerusalem. Thank you, Jesus, for this last week, this holy week that ended with your resurrection, defeating sin, hell, and the grave. Thank you, Jesus, that you offered all these things to us. Thank you that we have redemption through God's plan. Lord, I ask that each one of us come alive this week. If we have dry bones or dry mind, help us to come alive. Thank you that we can celebrate this day. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Let us not leave here like we came, but let us be changed today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Amen. More than 2,000 years ago, God's plan of redemption altered the world forever, changed the world forever. The power of sin and death was broken through the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the first Easter. Death was defeated. Did you hear me? Death was defeated. True life, spiritual life, God life, triumphed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God's life triumphed. God's life triumphed. Amen. Over the next week, we will journey together through the events of Holy Week and come alive to God's story, a story that transforms lives through His amazing grace. During this week, we will come alive to Jesus' life, Jesus' sacrifice, and Jesus' power. Today's Palm Sunday, so we want to begin by coming alive to Jesus' life, which was above and beyond human understanding. You can't understand it in the natural, folks. Hallelujah. On Good Friday, instead of considering the day to be one of fear and defeat, we will lift our eyes to the cross and come alive to the sacrifice Jesus made. Then on Easter, we will celebrate Jesus' resurrection and come alive to his power to change our lives. Amen. The life of our Lord and Savior offers us a reason to celebrate. It's a reason to respond to God's open arms and to his invitation to draw near. I'm glad y'all are here on this Palm Sunday so that we can experience together life-giving truth during this holy season. His life gives power to transform each one of us into a new creation. May I see a show of hands who's been changed into a new creation? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. The events of Palm Sunday, often referred to as Jesus' triumphal or triumphant entry into Jerusalem, are recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're recorded there, and it's a sure sign that this day is important. Amen? It's important. It marks what we think as the beginning of Jesus' journey to the cross. But we recognize that his journey began long before Palm Sunday. In fact, it began before he started his public ministry. And it even started before he arrived here on earth in that Bethlehem manger. It went far above and beyond what the people there at the original Palm Sunday knew. You see, Jesus' journey wasn't just about the immediate circumstances that were going on in Jerusalem at that time. His journey would impact eternity. Amen. And his journey was not just about the earthly events swirling around in those dusty streets of Jerusalem that day. The true significance of his journey is found in the spiritual realm. While today marked the triumphal entry, Jesus' journey was not about human approval or man's cooperation. It was one of obedience to his heavenly Father and the fulfillment of the Father's plan for redeeming the world. As we look at the events that happened on that day in Jerusalem, I have three simple symbols to help us remember the lessons of Palm Sunday. Number one is a donkey. Good-looking donkey. The second one is a palm branch. And the third one is some rocks. All right, these are plenty of common items, but they will remind us of the uncommon journey of Jesus. Amen? They represent the ways his journey took him above and beyond our understanding so that we might come alive in Jesus. Come alive to his life. Let's first look at the donkey. I want you to take a look at this animal. What do you see when you see a donkey? Most of us think they're stubborn. That's what we've always heard. That's what they're known for. They're stubborn. When we think of Jesus making a triumphal entry into Jerusalem, into this Jewish holy city, it's a logical question to ask, why a donkey? Why a donkey? Maybe it's not the mode of transportation we would have chose. Hallelujah. At first glance, it might seem that Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey was just a practical matter. He was tired of walking, of course, and there was a donkey available nearby. There wasn't a horse to be had, and all the camels were taken from the local rent-a-beast. Amen? So a donkey is what he had to ride on. It was just a donkey. However, Jesus' riding on this donkey was more than just meeting the immediate need. This lowly animal was part of God's bigger plan. Way back in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, in the Old Testament, there was a prophecy that the Messiah would come riding on a young donkey. Matthew quoted Zechariah when he wrote about Palm Sunday in Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 through 7. And I'm reading these things out of the New Living Translation. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her coat by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and on a coat, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the coat and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. So Jesus specifically wanted a donkey for that day. Specifically. And what might seem to us like a practical solution to the immediate situation, this was actually a specific fulfillment of thousands of years of prophecy. Thousands of years of prophecy. Now, take another look at this donkey. You have to admit, he's kind of cute. But I wouldn't go so far as to say he's majestic or royal. The top Roman soldiers of Jesus' day rode on fancy, majestic horses. They were used to show power and authority. The horses made a statement: power, strength, overcomers. The donkey, not so much. Not so much. But while that donkey can represent the humility of Jesus, the ironic twist of the story is that by riding this donkey, Jesus was also proclaiming that he was Messiah and the King. Amen. Hallelujah. He was the Christ that the Jews had been looking for. And the dedicated Jews gathered in Jerusalem at this time for the celebration over the Passover feast should have known this Old Testament prophecy. They should have known. So this simple act demonstrating a connection to the past, the fulfilling of the prophecy concerning the Messiah, and it also pointed to the future of Jesus as King. But it wasn't an earthly king, as so many anticipated, but as the true king who would reign forever and ever in God's story of love, forgiveness, grace, and redemption. The Messiah, whom the Jews have been waiting for throughout the centuries, here he came, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Next, we have a palm branch. What is significant about palm branches? Before we go further, permit me to tell you a little story first. Imagine you've loaded the family into the car. The kids are cheering loudly because you're driving toward the ice cream store, and they can almost taste the sweet goodness. But surprise, you drive right past the ice cream store, all the way to the airport, and you board a plane for Paris. Now, the kids should be ecstatic, right? They're on the trip of a lifetime. But instead, they are crushed. They're crushed. They were so looking forward to ice cream. They wanted ice cream. And the trip to Paris wasn't what they expected. It didn't fit their idea of what should happen. Now, this story gives us a glimpse into what happened to Jesus' disciples and the other followers of Jesus on Palm Sunday. They were cheering with excitement. Cheering. They thought their king had arrived. They could almost taste the victory as Jesus rode into town. Amen? Matthew 21, starting with verse 8. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Now, it's no wonder that the crowd was waving those palm branches. The palm branches were a traditional symbol of victory. Surely this was a day of celebration, and that's why we call today Palm Sunday. The Bible tells us how the people spread their cloaks and their branches on the road as the new king entered the city. They could almost taste the sweet goodness of freedom. Finally, their Messiah, the rescuer, had come. Finally, he was going to kick some Roman tail and overthrow their oppressors. He was going to fix the situation. And he would follow that act by setting up the perfect kingdom for the Jews. Right? No. The crowd would soon discover that this king wasn't what they expected. He wasn't what they expected. He hadn't come to set up an earthly political kingdom. Instead, he went above and beyond what the people imagined. Jesus came as a spiritual king, and his victory, the ultimate victory over sin and death, would be more than simply freedom from their current oppression. It would be a victory that restored all creation, making a way for every person to have a right relationship with God. Hallelujah. Jesus would take authority over and finally defeat oppression of their souls. Wow. Amen. Amen. Now, there were obviously many people who approved of Jesus when he rode into Jerusalem. These were the folks that were cheering, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" But there were those who didn't approve at all of Jesus, especially the Pharisees and other religious leaders who were threatened by Jesus' popularity. But none of them understood the magnitude of what Jesus was preparing to do. Even Jesus' disciples didn't get it. They just didn't understand. John told us so in John chapter 12, verse 16. He said, "At first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him." So what about you? What do you expect from Jesus this Easter? Are you prepared for His power and His victory in your life to go above and beyond those expectations? Finally, let's take a look at the rocks. At the rocks. Palm Sunday is really a snapshot that represents all of Jesus' life. His love, His sacrifice, His commitment to a greater story, to God's ultimate work. When He rode into Jerusalem, Jesus didn't arrive in order to raise more support or gain more approval. He was not on a campaign rally where He was trying to make sure enough people liked Him to get elected. That wasn't His goal. It wasn't His goal, but Jesus knew full well what was coming. Jesus knew He would face the cross. And only days later, the same crowd that was shouting, "Hosanna," would be shouting, "Crucify Him. Crucify Him." But even that didn't change Jesus' purpose or His actions. Jesus' purpose was not dependent on human approval. Was not dependent upon human approval, not dependent on appreciation, and not dependent upon praise. And He made that clear in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse 37 through 40. He said, "When He came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' He replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Stones will cry out. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen painted rocks. I've seen pet rocks. But I've never heard of a crying rock. Impossible. Impossible. But that was the point Jesus was making. Impossible. The importance of the day wasn't about who sang praises and who kept quiet. It was about all creation praising God the Creator. For all creation was held under the curse of sin and death. All creation needed to be redeemed. And here was the Creator who was working to lift the curse and provide a way of restoration for His original creation. Now let me repeat that. I want you to get it. For all of creation was held under the curse of sin and death. All creation needed to be redeemed. And here was the Creator who was working to lift the curse and provide a way of restoration for His original creation. Jesus' purpose was not adored by the masses. It was to offer the ultimate sacrifice, His own life, so that everyone and all of creation could worship God in freedom and in truth. Whether the people approved or disapproved, recognized, or had no idea what was going on, Jesus' purpose never changed. It was above and beyond earthly understanding. People did not know what was going on. Today we have the privilege of hindsight. We see what the disciples did not. We know the end of the story. And so as we watch the events of Holy Week begin to unfold, we come alive to his life, faithfully dedicated to God's ways, ways that are above and beyond what we can comprehend. The words of Isaiah were appropriate then, and they're appropriate now for us today. In chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." There is no doubt that God is above and beyond us in every way. No doubt. Yet from above and beyond, God sent his Son, Jesus, to earth in such a miraculous way, one in which we never would have imagined or planned or chosen. Jesus came to us in humility. Jesus lived among us in solidarity. Jesus sacrificed everything in obedience. And perhaps the most well-known verse of all that tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Jesus' purpose, his life purpose, was to bring God's love and his eternal life to the world. His love bridged the gap between the earthly and the heavenly. He provided a way for us to cross over into the holy presence of God, of the universe, the God of the universe, to know him and to relate with him. Wow. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." Wow. Wow. If you're here today wondering what this journey of Holy Week means for you, don't miss God's invitation. Don't miss it. He loves each one of us and invites us into relationship with him. What was once impossible because we were separated from God by sin and death is now possible when we come alive to the life of Jesus. Amen. We can now respond to God as the writer of Hebrews directed us in chapter 4, verse 16. He said, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Anybody in here ever had a time of need? Amen. Amen. Jesus entered a city thousands of years ago. He entered the final stages of his work on earth thousands of years ago. Today, Jesus has entered this sanctuary with his arms open wide. Won't you invite him to enter your heart and your life? I'd like everyone to bow your heads and just pray after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, and that you died for me. Please come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all my sins and take control of every area of my life. From this moment on, Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me for your glory. I want to serve you and love you all the days of my life. Thank you, Father, that I am now your child. In Jesus' holy name, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the very first time, then I welcome you into God's family. Amen. Today is certainly a day when you can declare, I have come alive in Jesus. I want you to know there are people in this place who have specifically prayed for each one of you to understand and accept His sacrifice. Jesus defeated sin. He defeated death just for you, to bring you newness of life. Just for you. So it's time to celebrate your Savior. Your Savior. He's living, a living Savior. Shout Hosanna to your Messiah King. Come on, let's do it. Hosanna! Hallelujah. I don't think them people down the road here heard me. Okay, can we do it again? Hosanna! Wow. Wow. Today we come alive to Jesus. Today we come alive to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Today we come alive to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to your feet.